podcast episode. It's called Nora, Sid, and Nancy. Oh, yeah. We should probably plan this part out. Jess.
No, don't plan it.
Oh, who is that?
Who is that ghost?
who's into not planning things and just improvising? Guys, welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're the Gilmore Guys. I am a big, big fan of this show. And Demi's watching it for the first time.
I've never heard of it.
This is Demi's first time.
I skipped to 205.
Exactly. That's a good strategy.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Guys, we are deep into the holiday season.
We are.
Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas.
I guess, if you're into that one.
Yeah, some people are.
Yeah.
But do you plan on getting your family any Gilmore Girls related?
Hell no.
No. Try for the best.
My family, I don't think they even know. No, that's not true. My sister used to watch it sparingly, and my mom was always like, "Oh, what's the show again? Okay, cool," and just walked by.
I wish your mom listened to the podcast, and then we could have her on one day.
My mom would never come on this podcast.
But maybe.
No.
Okay. I did.
I don't think my mom knows what a podcast is.
That's a bummer, because you're doing really good, dude.
The thing is, I think if my mom knew I was doing this, she'd be like, I hope you're having fun. And she would never.
Yeah, she means well. It's not a disconnection thing. It's just a lack of technological.
Like, yeah, it's just like, what do I do with this?
What I learned a few days ago is that my grandparents are listening to this podcast.
Really?
They are sentient enough. 88 and 86 as of this week.
Grandmammy and Grandpappy Porter, come on the show.
Come on the show. We love you. I actually am going to do a podcast type thing with them when I come home.
That's adorable.
Just like an oral history of, like, how cool is that, though? Like, to just say, hey, talk about when you were in World War II.
Yeah.
And just go through that.
Did you watch Gilmore Girls in the trenches?
Yeah, did you watch Gilmore Girls during World War II? That'd be a great question. Guys, we have a guest today, but it's not who we promised last time.
It's not Adnan.
It's not Adnan Syed.
I keep pronouncing his name wrong.
Adnan.
Adnan.
It's Aziz, like.
It's not Adnan Syed.
It's not that guy. Still in jail. Still working things out with the appeal. But I would dare to say that today's guest is even better than Adnan Syed.
I would say our guest today is less likely to have a friend who would corroborate his murder.
Yeah. Our guest today would not go to the payphone beside a Best Buy.
No, our guest today has probably never heard of a Best Buy.
Well, that might be a little far.
I don't know. We'll ask him.
Let's intro him now.
La la, la la. Best Buy.
Best Buy. Okay. Well, you know this gentleman from the UCB Theater, and you can check him out every Sunday night at UCB Franklin at Shitty Jobs. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Ben Rogers.
Hey, guys. Thank you. I have heard of a Best Buy.
Just to clear up the rumors.
We're actually weirdly next to a Best Buy right now.
We are.
So, corrections department.
Ooh, corrections.
He's heard of it.
Gilmore Goofs.
Yeah.
That's part of our Gilmore Goofs.
Throw it in the Gilmore Goof file.
Ben, thank you so much for doing this show.
No, thank you for asking me. I immediately screwed up. So you were like, we'll intro you, and then we'll talk for a little while, and I immediately started talking.
That's not true. Oftentimes, we have guests pre-lap, and gives it a little extra flavor, a little
spice.
I think Beth Stelling was a ghost in her own episode.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun.
Like, who's that ghost?
Yes. So fun. Ben, what is your experience with the show Gilmore Girls?
It's zero. I've never... I think I drove by a billboard for it once.
Hey, that's something.
That's more than somewhere else.
I think that's about it. I think I was in a cab with a girl I was dating, and I said, there's a show I would never watch. And that was it.
Yes.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
So I know absolutely nothing about it. I don't even have I've never even heard that much about it.
So you're coming to it fresh.
I'm coming to do it fresh. In my mind, it mixes with a lot of other shows that I don't watch that are seemingly like that.
Everwood, like, One Tree Hill.
Yeah. All like CW shows. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
All
those Hill Street Blues.
Well.
Sopranos.
Law and Order.
Yep. Yeah.
Game of Thrones.
Black Mirror. People are into that detective. Now all of a sudden.
Oh, Black Mirror is great.
Have you watched it?
Yes. I haven't seen it all, but if you are listening to this, guys, watch Black Mirror in between episodes of Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, it's on the Flicks of Net now, it is. So you can do that. So, well, let's kick it off, because this is your first ever episode of Gilmore Girls.
I'm curious, maybe were you super confused about relationships between certain people?
And... No, I figured it out fairly quickly.
Okay.
I hated it. I truly dislike.
Great.
I dislike the show. I was mad that it's even on my history of Netflix.
You're gonna get recommendations.
Yeah, I'm like mad that it's now I have to see it all the time.
Oh, just get a new account. Just get a new email. Yeah. Register the new account.
Throw the old one away.
Yeah, that makes sense. Checks out. Okay, this is episode 205, Nick and Nora / Sid and Nancy, and we're gonna start the episode discussion the way we start every episode discussion, with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the
Weasel.
The Weasel.
Pop Goes the Weasel.
In my head, I was like, that's the song. That's the song. Even though we've been doing this, this is probably what the
25th
time that we've done this. And I was like, yeah, it's definitely Weasel.
It's fine. We all make mistakes. And that's kind of what
the
show is
about. I feel like
you
guys never should say anything at the same time.
No.
Or
ever?
Yeah.
Just in
I
case.
That's your thing, yeah.
Yeah.
We
interesting strategy for next
stagger. The
oh,
wait,
sentence
wrong,
that
yeah.
is
talk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's do it. This is a supercut of every single pop culture reference in the episode. We put them together, put them in a little supercut, and it's Pop Goes the Culture, episode 205, Nick and Nora / Sid and Nancy.
This was a bad one, okay? This was not Nick and Nora. This was Sid and Nancy, and I'm not going in there. Outside working on his Breakfast Club audition, he's getting good.
What?
Barbara Walters, Sid.
Grubs, huh?
I.e. Kabbalah studies, freeway beautification projects, color me mine pottery painting.
Everyone here is not straight out of a Fellini film, but what if he turns out to be Fredo? Planning on burning a little Huck Finn after lunch, Taylor?
Charles Mingus, the Black Saint and the Sinner Lady. Mm.
I thought that Kimber and Sean Asher were with us here, John and Jackie.
Outside working on his Breakfast Club audition, he's getting good.
What?
The Sonics, here are the Sonics.
MC5, kick out the jams.
You, Luke Danes, the great communicator.
Fairport Convention, Legion, Leaf, Bee Gees, Odessa.
He's not going to be subbing for the new Dodo on the Regis show anytime soon.
So
let's
bad.
Put it like that. Now, if I can just find a copy of Whistler, Chaucer, Detroit, and Green Hill, I will finally be done with the 60s.
Yeah, riff, everything's fine.
Has he seen The Shawshank Redemption? Did the setting seem homey to him? Stuff like that.
You know, I think I hung my Tool t-shirt next to my Metallica t-shirt.
I've got Frosted Flakes.
Wow, that's great. Wow. Girl, we hooked on phonics. So why don't you Dr. Laura someone else?
Good night, Dodger.
Dodger.
Figure it out.
Oliver Twist.
Oh, man, so much.
Guys, this is our first Jess episode. This is the first episode in which we see Luke's nephew, Jess.
Yeah.
Demi, let's talk about it. How do we feel about Jess?
I don't like this dude.
I hate Jess so much.
People keep telling me, you're going to love Jess. You're going to love him.
Why?
I don't like him. He seems like he set off the trend of like bad boys from the wrong side of the tracks with a heart of gold. Like, I feel like he...
Minus the heart of gold.
Yeah, minus the heart of gold. I feel like he gets a spinoff and that's the OC or some shit.
They did try to spin him off. That's a true story.
Did they really?
There was a backdoor pilot in season 3 that they tried to make, like, and it was all shot at Venice Beach and shit.
Seriously?
But yeah, but it didn't go.
His character is so... First off, he's like... 8 years too old.
He's like 30.
Like,
17.
She says, oh, my daughter's around your age, and he's like 10 years older than
yeah,
me. He looks 25, and he's maybe in high school or something.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what might add a little bit of weirdness to that is Milo and Alexis did, in fact, start dating this season.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what the age difference is in real life.
She's
19.
She's 20 at this point. She was 19 when the show started.
She was not? Okay, yeah, so she's 20.
Not that far off.
This isn't egregious. They're both in their 20s. But guys, I hate Jess so much.
I do too.
I don't understand. There's Team Dean, which is Rory's boyfriend who wasn't in this episode.
Okay.
Team Jess.
They both start off at least as dickholes. So
absolutely. Also, like, they both start off like with their opening lines going into her bedroom. One of them's is nice chicken. The other one, wait.
What was Jess's?
Let me say that again. One of them's was...
Nice chicken.
The other one was, oh, aren't we hooked on phonics?
Oh, yeah. I like that. Like, aren't we hooked on phonics? A reference to something that is, like, 20 years old.
Yeah.
Like, I barely remember the hooked on phonics commercials. And he's saying it like somebody...
Well, he's much older than you, Ben.
Somebody he is.
He's, like, 35 years old.
But he's, like... But still, I mean, they're in, like, what, high school in... This probably took place in 2001.
This is 2001, yeah. Post-9/11 world.
So, yeah, it still makes no sense, that reference.
It's a bummer. And people... Guys,
can I just say, yes. No, most of the references do not make any sense.
How
we're
so?
On the same page.
Like, the Fellini film one, for example, is the one that drove me the most crazy, where she wants to bring him to dinner so he doesn't think everyone in town is straight out of a Fellini film.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning they're, like, really weird, eccentric people. Right. Like, Fellini casts his films full of almost, like, circus freak type, circus performers, which this town is not. It's the most boring fucking place in the
Everyone's
world.
Everyone's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I think there is some eccentricity with townies that we don't see in this episode with like Babette, Miss Patty, but at most they're not close to a Fellini film.
No.
That's probably right.
It's very hyperbolic and wildly off. And I feel like most of them are just trying to shoehorn these comments and trying to shoehorn these references.
Why don't you Dr. Lore someone else?
Oh,
yeah, that
God.
Was so weird.
That made me hate him forever. That was the moment. Love at first sight, hate at first sight, hate at first line.
Oh my God.
Doctor.
Just the fact that he grabs a beer and he looks totally fine with a beer because he's sold.
He's smoking like, and I'm just like, you can't take that cigarette away from that. He bought that legally. It's like, chill out.
Yeah, he should be fine.
I'm very embarrassed to admit this and I did not want to look it up because I was like, this is going to be a thing that the viewers hate or the listeners hate me for. The Nick and Nora reference. Mm-hmm. What am I missing there?
That's the Thin Man.
I have no idea what the fuck that is.
It's like a long-running series of sort of like romantic comedy type couple.
Okay.
Like they made, I don't know, a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. The Thin Man series, like I feel like they made like 5 movies.
Are they called The Thin Man something?
Yeah.
Yeah, or at least one of them is.
One's
yeah.
The Thin Man, then it's like The Thin Man Returns. And
the slightly
just,
thicker
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
This is going to be the thing that people are like, what the fuck, Timmy didn't?
I don't think so. I mean, that's like Turner Classic Movie shit. Mm. Where
most of this stuff is Turner Classic Movie
shit. Because it was just weird. Like in my head, I'm like, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. But I was like, immediately,
this
I was like,
pre-infinite
no.
Playlist, that's, yeah.
Exactly. And I was like, that's such a, there's no way they would do that even if we're after that.
Although let's imagine a reality in which instead of Milo Ventimiglia, Michael Cera played Jess.
I'd kind of like it.
Probably
I think
be
he'd be like this weird, awkward dude that Rory would like have a crush on, even though she's like, he's the dork in school.
Mm-hmm.
They give him no reason why he's mad at everything.
No.
That's the thing that drives me nuts about the character in general and in macro. He has kind of a rough, his dad left. Right, like 2 years ago.
Boo-hoo. 2 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, that's so what they said in the show. Not even from birth.
So he's an adult.
Years ago.
He's an adult in his dad left.
Yes.
Oh, man.
More or less. Because that's the whole thing is, people, oh, he's troubled. He's blah, blah, blah. But the source of angst is so ill-motivated.
It's got to be genetic in that family, though, because Luke is also just the grumpiest man alive.
Oh, he's my least favorite actor in the show.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. How's that?
I don't like him. There's a couple things that bother me about him to me where I don't think he makes a lot of eye contact. And when he does, he blinks a lot. And I find it really uncomfortable.
Hmm.
So he's usually...
He blinks a lot. I haven't noticed
this. He looks... First, he doesn't have a neck.
Uh-huh.
He's like all like traps.
<That's true.
laughs> He's like traps from his ears into his shoulder, which like give him this like real bully quality that I think I don't like. And then he just has this like crazy energy. I guess everybody does on the show, but him, it particularly comes out. Like, we're just always like... He looks constipated or something.
He does. Like, Especially when he's on the phone with his sister and he's just like... What, you don't know how, you can't do this to me. And he's like going.
That was insanity.
Yeah.
That's bad writing, how much he has to talk to his sister on the phone to explain everything.
And then
which is completely.
And just going to the kitchen, too.
Yeah. It was
just
very much.
Open.
It felt like they were like, no, we haven't established that it's his bad sister yet. Because he does that thing where he's like, hey, do any of you have sisters? And one of the kids goes, yeah, I do.
Oh, one of the generic Boy Scouts.
One of the generic Boy Scouts.
Which one of them, you got to give it to him, one of them was black.
Six. Oh, is that? Yeah, that was the shred of diversity in the episode.
Yep. This
Oh, and then they have the Asian girl at the top to just kind of shoehorn her character in.
Also, yep. Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, there's no reason for Lane to be in this episode. She's like, here's some things that are by
Chilton. She has no story. No. Yeah. It's just like, Mojo, bye.
She has a line.
She's like, let me talk about records for real quick just to get more pop culture references in the show.
Which is really her entire character.
We can make it super good, just her doing music references, and yeah. It would be 35 minutes long. But before we get too much into it, I gotta hit up the Netflix synopsis for this episode.
Yes, you do.
Which is always shittily written, except for 206 was all right. But this one is...
I mean, it will be all right.
It will be all right. Link. Lorelai's advice doesn't dissuade Luke from reluctantly agreeing to care for his wild teenage nephew, Jess.
Wild.
Rory finds herself attracted to Jess. Which is not textual in this episode.
Yeah, it's not
that she's attracted to Jess.
Established until the last.
Yeah, if anything,
scene.
That's kind of ruins the episode.
It 100%.
They always.
That.
I think they're writing these for people who have already seen the show. It's like, as a reminder, here's what happens.
And
but
you know
it's
what?
Not...
I think that makes sense because why else would anybody watch this unless you love it? You're looking for. I want to see the episode where they meet, and that's probably why they would. That kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah,
that they would mark it out specifically.
I mean, I feel bad for the guy who's writing Netflix and be like, "You ruined the series for me,
dear Netflix."
They got a lot of anger mail.
The text. Mail. I wonder if that's it. I mean, it must be. It must be a thing. One person in the world has complained about that.
We might be the first about Gilmore Girls, though.
Yeah, but that little kid, the little black kid, was really cute in that scene.
All of those kids.
My head's not
going to
fit in it.
Them.
You hated them? How much did you like Taylor's adult Boy Scout uniform?
Oh. That was weird.
It was weird.
I felt like I was watching a scene from Up. Just
because
he looks
like... That guy's a recurring character?
Yeah. He's a townie. Taylor Doozy.
Okay.
Dozy. Oh, shit.
Oh, we're going to...
Oh, man.
Ooh. His...
There's you guys were fans.
So did we. We got chastised on Twitter for mispronouncing his name a few months ago.
Which is...
Or feels like a few months ago.
Now I got... It's GIF versus GIF. Like, I don't... Yeah. I don't care. People know what I'm saying. But... I hated the Boy Scouts entirely, and I hated the, any of you got sisters? I do. You have my sympathies. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that kid was way beyond
precocious.
Yeah, he was 29 years old, kid.
That child was a...
that kid. Yeah. The kid who spoke up, he was way older than all the other Boy Scouts.
Thank you. I appreciate your sympathies.
Mm.
There was a lot of weird aging things. I noticed a lot of weird extras. I don't know who... Did the background
some of the extras
in this, but the when I don't know if you guys noticed this, when they go to the high school, some of the people walking by camera are 40 years old.
Yes, I noticed this in the scene where Rory bumps into Max, and then he bumps into a classmate who is straight up, it's a black guy, he's straight up like 36 years old. Straight up, like
all of
two people walk by them in school uniforms, and they are so. I was like, "Wait, is there like a college here also?"
All of the extras are like Steve Buscemi in 30 Rock when he's like, "How do you do, fellow kids?"
There's another great background when what's his name? Who's the kid who just shows up?
Jess.
He scopes out the town, and they do a tracking shot, which weirdly just follows one of the extras. And
when
it's
like
this portly guy
him.
With the goatee, and he's just walking, and then you see him in the cafe later.
Yeah,
they reuse him for another shot.
You gotta give it to them
sometimes
for consistency.
Sometimes they just use the extras. It's like we gotta get between these two shots, and it's like, all right, we'll follow the extra.
Yeah, it's so strange. It's so weird.
It's very strange.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy things about this episode. I'm not crazy. He looks like little Bruce Springsteen, right? He looks like Bruce Springsteen circa 1978, right?
Jess?
Yeah.
I don't see it.
You don't?
No. Yeah.
Like, okay, anyone who's listening, who's a fan, agree with me and tweet at me.
You would probably know better. You're a huge Springhead.
Big Springhead, as we call him.
Right.
But
big old Springhead.
even look at the Darkness on the Edge of Town cover from 1978. It's very. If there was ever a biopic of Bruce, in the next 10 years, he would play him.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's got to happen soon. Get on it.
Yeah. Because he certainly has all the charisma of a Bruce Springsteen.
Plus, Jess
type.
Is turning 74 next year.
That's true.
He was 55 when they shot this.
Milo, if you're listening, we love you. Come on the show.
Milo, if you're listening, we love you. Walk on the show very slowly. You're so old.
The whole conceit of the episode is that Liz, Luke's sister.
Yeah.
is like, I can't deal with this. You do. Liz is, it's a total dick, but like what?
I don't like my son.
I don't like my
son. That's what I imagine her saying.
It was really.
Yeah, they don't make any sort of like he needs like a strong like male figure in his life or anything. They don't bring any of that up. And can we talk about the guy's apartment real quick, Luke's?
Yeah, so Luke lives above his own diner.
Have you guys talked about this before?
A little bit. There's a safe in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's so. It's covered in just all sports memorabilia everywhere. There's just like trophies everywhere and hockey sticks and fishing supplies and then mounted fish. I mean, they overdid it.
I imagine the safe is just full of beers, unlabeled beers.
Yeah,
just,
that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, the apartment, I couldn't get over. I was like, who designed this? It's so on the nose.
It's a man.
Or maybe it was a woman who was designed. I don't know. I don't want to project that. But, like, it is very, it is what you would define, like, the traditional masculine
definition. It was
someone who was
like, we got to get across that Luke is a man.
Yeah, Luke's a dude. He likes guy things, except like sports.
Except for the girly curtains I picked up.
More sports.
Scott Patterson used to be a pitcher. Maybe that contributes to his lack of a neck.
What if Scott Patterson himself was like, all right, I'm going to put in here the things that I love. And what's that? Sports.
Yeah, they asked for his input, and that's what it was.
I don't understand anything. I'm a guy. Blink, blink, blink.
I'm going to put a baseball in every table corner.
And it's not like one thing he likes. There's just like everything.
It's a multitude of things.
I'm good at all sports. I love them all.
It's like when they have commercials or brochures for something where it's like they got
brochures,
mm-hmm. and they got to have sports people in them, but like, or they got to have like sports fans in them, but they can't have a specific team. Mm. So they just have jerseys that's like 88 with no logo.
He's one of those guys.
Exactly. Yeah. He's like, honestly, I just love the game. I don't root for anyone in particular.
Yeah, and he's an asshole from minute one, Jess is, when he gets into the apartment. I got your Frosted Flakes.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I was like, what?
And they have him doing all sorts of like generic like 50s bad boy stuff. Like he's just shuffling cards. He's not doing any like trick. Yeah. They're trying to make him like fucking like mystery or like
It established that he smokes before Luke takes the cigarette out of his hand?
Yeah, he was smoking one of the scenes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Smoking immediately, then doing like card tricks, even though they're not card tricks.
Yeah,
like they wanted to make him look like he's doing card tricks. He's just raising cards up and down and then fanning them open and closed. And it's like,
I imagine he went to a CVS before he stopped over at Luke's and like, all right, cigarettes, cards, do they have a switchblade, jackets, no, none of these. Like, he's just, I gotta get all of the bad
get
boys.
Gotta get dice. But I'm really smart.
Oh my gosh. It's a mystery. Oh, I've read it 20 times. And then,
here's the reveal. I do read books.
I hated that. Because every time they want to set up someone with Rory, they're just like, oh, but he loves books. And Rory's like, books? You read books? Books? Oh my god.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. Well, I know we're skipping ahead. Who cares? We never
We never have gone to chronological
order. Yeah, we used to do it like act one, act two, and then who gives a shit. But in that last scene, their point of connection, see you later, Dodger. Oh, it's Oliver Twist.
Yeah.
Again, their first point of connection, just like with Dean in season one, it was, oh, Rosemary's Baby, Ruth Gordon.
Yeah.
Like, and then she had the look, what? You know, and that was like the big point of connection.
Yeah.
So they're just replaying those same beats again.
Right.
Which I don't know if that's a choice or if it's lazy.
I hope it's a choice.
I hope it's a choice.
Rory loves books more than people sort of thing.
But again, they just retconned the shit out of Dean. Dean's just a zero now, her off-screen boyfriend at this point. And Jess is like, I read Hal. I'm mysterious. Let's also talk about the fact that
she does have a boyfriend.
She currently has a boyfriend.
Because everybody seems like they're trying to push them together. Like, you guys should hang out.
They very much are. They kind of forget that Dean exists.
Totally. And why would he not be at the dinner? Like, oh yeah, invite Dean over.
Can I say I didn't know that they were mother and daughter at the start of the show?
Oh, really?
That's fine.
Yeah, it took me a while. I was like, oh, maybe. I thought maybe the premise of the show was they were like distant sisters and their parents died and now she's raising them.
I could see that.
That was sort of what I was thinking.
That's a much better show.
It was like until the middle of the episode when, what's his name, Luke? He's like, you got pregnant at 16.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, thanks, man. Thanks for
exposition.
Filling me out.
Every episode of this show is the kind of thing where it's like, we got to make sure that people know in case they haven't seen the previous episodes. And they do a good job of that, even though to people who have seen the show, it's like, you're explaining a little too much.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to fill me in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You should be a little confused.
Yeah, I should have been. I should have been way more confused than I was about that whole episode.
It is interesting.
I knew everyone's relationship
by
the end of
the episode. I'm Luke, and I run this diner.
Yeah, we ask people who, because a lot of our guests only come in and just watch the one episode that we assign.
Right.
And we always ask, oh, is there anything confusing? It's usually, nope, I got it.
Yeah.
Pretty much from minute one.
They fill you in. Like, when she bumped into that teacher, sorry, I'm bouncing all over the place, too.
That's how we do it.
It's
who like, runs away.
Who runs away, and then I'm like, oh, did he molest her? Like, that was my first instinct. I was like, yes. Obviously, that's not going to happen on this show, but that was the only question mark. And then they immediately said, like, oh, is it weird that we ran into each other since we used to date? Like, everything is just so laid out there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and in that scene in particular, he did look like David Schwimmer Pacino. Like
David Schwimmer and Al Pacino.
David Pacino.
It's
Rachel.
Rory.
We were on a break.
they weren't, though.
No. one funny thing about that scene is when – so basically they were engaged. Max, the teacher, and Lorelai were engaged for a brief period of time. And in that engagement, we don't go to his job at the school at all. We forget that he's a teacher. And so now they're like, we got to bring him back for one awkward moment.
The consequences. Mm-hmm. That's the first time we've seen him since they broke it off.
Yeah.
Which you never saw Lorelai call or...
They don't talk about them breaking off their engagement. One time they're happy and Lorelai just goes, let's go on a trip. And it's like, I don't think it's happening anymore. And we don't see him again until this very
moment. So this is them trying to kill that whole storyline in this episode. And they have the heart-to-heart on record, and then she shuts off the tape recorder and then starts interviewing him.
Oh, right? wait, no, I think it's the other way around. I think they were on record when they were doing the interview. That'd be hilarious.
No, though. I thought she shut it off. I must have gotten this wrong.
I think she shut
that
it off
makes
to
way
say,
more sense.
Oh, just to let you know, I would have loved to have you as a stepdad.
Okay,
and then
I didn't see. I missed. Okay, I must have been talking or something.
Okay.
I missed her turning it off because when I was watching, I was like, "Wait!" She's like, "I wanted you to be my stepdad," and he's like, "I wanted to be your stepdad." Then she turns it off. And is like, "So tell me about yourself."
Yeah, that's Rory's podcast that she's starting. It's a Mark and Aaron sort of situation. it's just the personal shit. It's not the business. Oh my gosh! And I mean, well, let's talk about Paris giving that to her.
This is pre Paris Hilton, which is great use of the name.
Oh,
I like
right around. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe.
But it wasn't based on that at all.
I feel like this was pre sex tape when she really like.
Oh yeah.
The sex tape was January 17th, 2003. I don't know.
But the I like how the editor in chief of the school newspaper gets a special vest. Is that like
the vest? Wait, was she wearing a vest?
She wears a different like jacket than everybody else.
I didn't realize that.
That gives her like higher status, I assume.
I didn't. Well,
everybody else is a school uniform, but she's got like a blazer on.
I didn't realize
that. I didn't either.
Well, you know what it's time for? Fashion report. Okay, well, the
well,
vest.
I scooped you guys on the vest.
You
there.
Did.
You really
I
did.
Know. You really. Very
how did you feel about the vest?
The lead.
Bold choice.
I mean, I thought it was crazy. Of like, I didn't realize there was any high school that had a cutthroat newspaper world.
Yeah, there should
world
be a hierarchy
where it's like you earn like it's the master's
right
coat or something.
I would love to see.
I wonder
Paris a green jacket
because I didn't go to a hoity-toity public private school. Yeah, I went to a public school before or after I was homeschooled, but I didn't experience any of that.
Right, me neither.
No, I don't think there are any schools
that doesn't exist
that have
even
everybody
schools
like killing each other to get a big story in the paper.
I could see it more for college, maybe. But
even then, I don't. Yeah. There's no vest. There's no tiara of the.
Yeah, if you went
industry
to a school, if you went to like Michigan or some like big journalist school, I feel like that has a big journalism department. I don't. Maybe Michigan has that.
Maybe Northwestern or something.
Yeah, right.
NYU.
Great. Where it's. Maybe that has that competitive culture, but I don't think there's a high school anywhere no where just people are killing themselves. Anyway,
hey, if you're at a high school where that does exist, tweet at us.
So
we'll tell your story.
What a terrible move. Paris, she's like, yeah, hey, I'm sorry. Hey, come to the thing at 4 o'clock tonight.
And what is this all motivated out of? Because we're picking up after summer and after all the tension with Chad Michael Mudface. This is still about Mudface. There was a guy where it's just a total...
Chad Michael Murray.
Chad Michael Mudface.
This asshole who was hitting on Rory.
I think
but
he's
Paris
from Buffalo.
Huh?
I think he's from Buffalo,
is
which
he
is where I'm from.
Really?
And that's the only reason I know anything about him.
Are you guys best friends?
Mm-hmm.
You guys pals?
We're best buds.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, well, tell him to come on the show.
Yeah.
We have a lot of questions.
So many questions. But
she's still mad about that?
Yeah, because... Chad Michael Murray liked Rory, but Paris liked Chad Michael Murray, and that's like it. That's the whole
That's
reason.
The premise, and Rory's like, nope. And still.
Mm. Yeah, Rory was like, I hate him. And she's like, but he likes you, and I'm mad.
You know what is surprising in a non-Chekhov's gun sort of way?
What?
Is the fact that Tristan and Rory kissed and Paris never found out. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
They kissed at that party right after...
She'll find out. That'll be the next... When they're friends again,
I don't
she'll
think
find
they
out.
Do.
Oh, really?
Twitter's going to be up my ass if I'm wrong, but I don't think they do. Jess is... We're in the fashion report. Jess's clothes are super baggy. It's like cargo jeans.
Oh, yeah.
He's wearing JNCO jeans.
I think those were I feel like I was wearing pretty baggy pants.
Around that time as well.
Around the millennium.
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
The millennium. Woo.
A lot of millennium jokes these two episodes.
you'll find out.
Ha ha.
Woo. I didn't notice anything else fashion wise, did you?
Backwards cap. Why is the dude wearing a backwards cap the whole time?
There's an origin to that. There's a little origin, kind of.
He
not
used to
really.
Wear this other hat, and Lorelai was like, here, have this hat. And
Merry
since
Christmas.
He's secretly in love with Lorelai, he's like, I gotta wear this hat all the time.
You've well, it, same
you wear it forward.
Yeah.
I would
don't
think
wear
so.
Or just don't wear
do,
it.
Do people not, like, I don't think people wear hats backwards as much as they used to.
Now? No, I think it's a real 90s
thing. I
think
it's pretty
thing.
Dead. Yeah. And you know what? I'm happy about it. Yeah. I'm cool with that being a dead trend. At first I thought, oh, he's working the grill. He's got to have like a hairnet type thing on. So he's wearing a hat.
But no, you seldom see him without the hat. Yeah, I think there's like 10 episodes
also,
total.
Also, he doesn't cook himself, right?
No, I think
chefs.
He does. No, he does, but then he has help. But you just like, never see him because they can't afford to
I was like,
hire
there's
actors.
No way he cooks all of the food. I was like, nothing gets done there.
No, there's a guy named Caesar who works there as well.
Making
really?
The
but
Danishes.
You haven't seen him yet. What's that?
Making the Danishes.
Yeah, exactly.
They're great Danishes.
Yeah, the world
class. Do you ever
see Danishes.
Caesar?
You do. Yeah, okay. You do either later in this season or next.
Anyway, the hat bothered me when we see him outside of the cafe and he's still wearing the backwards hat.
Oh, when he's holding all those groceries and he's like, "Whoa!"
Okay, yes, and that can I tell you? I've discovered like their system for making jokes in this show, and the grocery thing is a prime example of it. It is asking people an obvious question several times. And that happens consistently throughout all the episodes. So let's say Kevin is eating a giant sandwich and has mayonnaise all over his face. And I have a napkin. I'm like, do you want a napkin? And you say no.
No.
Are you sure you don't want a napkin?
No.
Think you might want that napkin?
No, I'm good.
And that's a scene. that's a Gilmore Girls scene.
And scene.
That happens consistently throughout. I mean, well, we would obviously have to speed that up about five times faster.
No, no, no.
You sure? Napkin?
Nope.
No, napkin? Nope. No, napkin? Like, do you want to help with those groceries? No, I got it. You want any groceries? No, I got it. You sure you need those groceries?
Did the speed bother you? Because
I hated it. I hated it. Yeah. I didn't know it was sort of this like wannabe Sorkinese.
Yeah.
And it put me in such a, it stressed me out immediately. It's so terrible.
Yeah.
I kind of love how much you hate the show. I'm wondering, is there anything that you've, like a shining part of it that you like?
No, no, no. No, it's terrible.
Oh, I can't wait till we get
I
to the ratings.
I feel bad. I feel bad about everything.
That's fine.
I
don't feel bad. I feel bad for the actors in the show because they have to say this dialogue and they have to speak. Like, it's so, I have respect for all of them because they had to do this for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you have to talk like a maniac. You have to, like, that's not acting. I don't know what that is. It's right. like being forced to do that is just, like, you're in this alternate universe where everybody talks like this. And aesthetically, I didn't enjoy it either, where it has all the characteristics of a bad sitcom, but it's where it's lit really, the lighting
like
is very
play.
Flat.
It's very bright.
And
the Paladinos come from a sitcom background, from Roseanne.
Oh, yeah.
And some other Veronica's Closet, maybe I might have made that up.
Family Guy.
Well, yeah, Daniel Paladino was on Family
Although,
Guy for a few years.
They didn't get lighting cues from Family Guy.
No.
Anyway, it just stressed me out. Everyone talking that fast.
It's interesting you bring up Sorkin as a kind of comparison because I feel like we've talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
On the show, where like Amy Sherman Palladino and Sorkin are very much parallels of each other in terms of like career arc, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, not obviously one for one. Sorkin's probably more successful. He has an Oscar, but definitely in writing styles. And we also call this like proto Juno, proto Diablo Cody a lot too.
Okay.
Where the dialogue in that movie stressed me out for yeah. sure.
But theirs is more slang-based rather than pop culture-based.
In Diablo Cody?
Yeah.
Yeah. One duo can't be undid, home skillet. Imagine Luke saying that.
I would quit this podcast.
My favorite line is Luke saying, when he's talking to his sister, and he's like, slow down, you're babbling. And I want to be like, everyone's babbling. Yeah. You're all, everyone should listen to that. How, no, how can you, like, how fast is she talking if he's like, slow down?
Whoa.
Yeah, that was crazy to me.
You do meet Liz later on in the show. She's not an off-screen character, and she does not talk very fast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do, because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website, so exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace, so you can figure out who's visiting your website and why, and figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm gonna let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month. And it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
Are there any? Is there anyone in the show that they're like, oh, no need to bring them onto the screen? Like,
Mr. Kim?
Oh, right, yeah.
That's it.
Lane, the Asian girl's father, is never.
She has a rich, deep background.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Did we close out the fashion report? Because I think we're done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fashion.
Okay.
Cool. Oh, I didn't realize it gets closed out like that. Nice.
Oh, you got it. If you open it up, you got to close it.
You got to close it.
It's parentheses.
That's the way it goes. One of my favorite lines, let's talk about the conflict that occurs when Jess goes over for dinner. Mm-hmm. So he's coming over, sizing all the shit up, takes the picture of Rory off the mantle, and he's basically given Rory and pictures of her rapey eyes throughout the whole scene, I would say.
When
he waltzes into her room and he's just like sizing all this shit up and...
It wasn't rapey eyes for me, but I thought like his eyes the entire time were just like, I'm always tired. Just like,
that's true.
I'm half asleep through all of these scenes.
Possibly.
Yeah, it's just kind of like Romance for Dummies. I thought all those meeting scenes where it's like, everyone's talking about, you guys got to come together. And then he's got a bad attitude and she's trying to convince. I mean, to me, it's pretty typical romantic comedy stuff.
It's very like one slow turn away from like being any other CW show or the OC.
Yeah.
This one, that's an interesting point because what would separate this episode from a CW show?
Nothing.
Like, is this on the CW?
This was on the WB seasons 1 through 6, and then season 7 was CW. Okay. Yeah,
it just frustrated me because, like, at least with the show, sometimes I feel like, oh, this is kind of a smart version of all the CW shows that we see now. But this episode, it was straight up like, you two would go great together. It's like, oh, if only. That kind of, and I was not having it. I hated Jess. I hated the chemistry they were trying to force with him, and I hated they were trying to set up him up as a bad boy the entire episode, and I never felt like he had that much of a reason to have a problem. He exactly said, you don't know anything about me or my life. And I was...
Oh, that's the scene where the 17-year-old told the 33-year-old woman, you're so naive, or you're getting some?
Right, yeah.
Oh, it's like, either did he use bopping? I feel like that's used pretty consistently
bopping?
In the show.
Yeah, bopping?
As a reference to sex. I don't think they want to say sex for some reason.
Wait, or like did they sleeping say, with. Are you
they said bopping,
bopping
all the time in the show. I noticed that, and I've never heard it before. And it's such a weird thing that they're... I mean, the only one that really I can for sure remember is when they ask about the gossip column, and she says who Biffy's bopping.
I do remember that, where Paris is like, let me think about that.
Yeah, real, like, sarcastic.
Yeah, the gossip column.
But bopping comes up quite a bit.
That's weird.
Or at least
that.
It hasn't come up before
this. Although, have they ever said sex outright? Because I know they mentioned that she got pregnant. Really?
I think so.
They have to have. It makes no, like, it's part of the story.
You could
it's
not.
Such a part of the story, but, like, in my mind, I can't remember.
It is interesting that this is, like, a pre-CW, because obviously shows like Gossip Girl and shit. Ben just remembered a really funny point.
Yeah, no, I don't think we brought it. Did you play this during the pop culture one? The new doo-doo on the Regis show?
What?
Yes, I did.
I wrote that down. I was like, what is, why? Well, he's not going to be the new doo-doo on the Regis show, or Dodo. I think
it was Dodo.
Yeah,
and no joke, Ben. That is the third Regis reference in the series.
Yeah,
they love Regis. And Regis loves them.
They also love Madonna. They made a weird joke about Kabbalah as like they were like things.
Yes, Luke said Kabbalah study.
Yeah. It was like it was out of nowhere. It didn't feel like a Luke thing to say.
Yeah, they made a weird Kabbalah reference. Yeah, I remember that.
But that scene with Lorelai and Jess. She comes out to the patio, right? And she keeps it cool at first. She's like, oh, thanks for the beer, haha. And then she's like, Luke's a great guy, blah, blah, blah. Do you think she was in the wrong for saying that? Because Luke certainly got pissed at her.
What, for trying to...
For saying like, oh, Luke's great. It's going to be...
Luke took it as... I think he assumed that she went out there and went like, be nice to Luke. He's so good. But she's really just like, look, Luke's a great guy. So,
I mean,
no.
I think this is the reason why I particularly hated it, because this is the main story of the episode, right? Is that she and Luke have this problem over that encounter that she has with Jess, right?
Mm-hmm. Where this central conflict.
And it's terrible. I mean, there's no reason why Luke should be mad at her for saying that he's great. He's like, mind your own business.
Yeah.
God, we're never going to talk again. You got pregnant when you were a kid. Let me explain the whole point of the show. And she's like, excuse me?
It was a little uncalled
what
for.
What a hoe. And then she makes another pie reference, which is the lamest
two
thing.
Pies.
Yeah.
Two pies.
I don't like, you know what? I'll actually say, I don't like that genre of joke where a character makes a joke to themselves that the audience understands, but the.
Because no one talks like
that. She should fucking turn to like a fake camera. It's like, two pies.
Jim Halpert style.
Exactly.
Or House of Cards Kevin Spacey style.
Yeah,
just as serious.
Either of those.
Can you believe he said that? That thing about me getting pregnant as a teen. If only I had two pies.
That was
right, viewers.
If we heard a laugh track after two pies, I'd be like, okay, I understand.
Too many.
Actually,
pies.
That's that. You bring up the laugh track. I did think about that a lot during the show. Where it's, I'm shocked that this doesn't have a laugh track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For some of the references, if it were, although the show would be like twice as long.
Yeah, this is a hour long show, so it's like 42 to 45 minutes. Yeah. I wonder how it would play as a half hour. If it would be better or worse.
It would, you know what? I think it would be better.
You think
I
it'd be better as a half hour?
I think it would be better as a half hour.
And that's not.
And I only would have to watch for a half hour.
That's true.
That's not a criticism.
45 minutes of this.
That's not a criticism of the show as like saying like it should be like a laugh track sitcom, but there are so many times where I'm just like, half of this doesn't need to be in the episode.
Yeah. And I guess this was, I mean, it premiered in 2000, so this was when single camera sitcoms weren't really a thing.
Right.
The only one on at this point, if I remember correctly, was Sports Night, and they had to force a laugh track on it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, which sucked until they got rid of it.
Yeah.
But then, okay, so why don't you Dr. Lure someone else? And, yeah, that scene was upsetting. And then during that fight with Luke and Lorelai, we get to my favorite line of the episode, which is so uncharacteristically sassy of Luke. He looks at Lorelai, and Lorelai's like, I'm never going to talk to you again. And what does Luke say?
Oh, don't tease.
Oh, don't tease.
He's never.
Damn.
Yeah, he's never been that. I just didn't understand that at all. And then you see them the next day, and they're like hiding outside of Luke's diner.
Mm-hmm.
And then she runs down a kid to get in to get her a Danish for her. Yeah, I mean, they act like children this over probably nothing. But.
You know what I particularly hate in this
only
episode?
The only place in. Stars Hollow, which they say 1,000 times in the show.
Do they say Stars Hollow?
She says Stars Hollow in every single scene. Which, yeah, now I remember. Like, I got caught up, I feel like, on most of the information of the series in this one in 42 minutes.
You never forgot where they were.
They just had to be like, Jess, do you know where you are? You're in Stars Hollow now.
There's only one place in Stars Hollow to get coffee.
Yeah.
Stars Hollow.
My least favorite part of this episode was all the fucking needle drops where they just have to toss in the blaring music. Like when
Helen,
Jess,
we love you.
We do. And I'm glad for the music that is in this show. But like when Jess first comes into town, he goes to Luke's and then he steps outside and he takes a look around the town, and I don't know what song it is, but it's playing.
It sounded like Elvis Costello.
It was Elvis Costello.
It was playing so loud, mm-hmm. and it didn't fit, and then it lands on Jess, and I was like, this isn't right. This doesn't. And then at the end, during the Dodger thing, there was another song playing crazy loud.
What was the one?
As someone who likes Elvis Costello, that bummed me out a lot.
Not a fan?
I like Elvis Costello, but it's like a collision of this terrible, because I think that was one of the worst shots in the show was when he's scanning the town.
Is that when they follow the
goatee
guy?
That's when they follow the goatee guy. And then you're hearing Elvis Costello.
Does Elvis Costello have a cameo at some point in the show?
No.
No? I feel like I've heard him mentioned in conjunction with the show before, but I don't think we've had his music on the show before.
We have. Oh. They played Every Day I Write the Book at the high school party when they're all dancing.
Oh, right, because they mentioned that someone was playing Elvis. That was so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird needle drops.
A lot of Baby Boomer references. I will say, maybe my favorite moment of the episode, because we're all thinking it, Luke confronts Jess. Did you steal the tip money or whatever? I don't even know what that was. Did you steal Taylor's? Oh, the gnome.
Oh, the gnome.
Which, why did...
Why do you put the gnome in the closet?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to steal this gnome and bring it home.
I fucking hate gnomes.
Just like throw it in the... It was completely unmotivated. Although we did get to see Babette, which was fun. Sally Struthers.
Oh, yeah. That was a surprise. I was like, all right, who's this?
Was Sookie
I think
in this
everything was
at all?
A surprise. What's that?
Was Sookie in this episode?
Yeah, she was helping make dinner. She was Lorelai's personal chef for her own event.
She always is, Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That did you know really she was in this series?
I didn't know she was in the series. I mean, they gave me a good... I mean, the long introduction of the show where they show you all the characters. I kind of pieced it together.
Where they keep adding more characters like every episode.
Dean, Jess, Kirk's going to be in there pretty soon.
I did like that. It seemed like the gnome having a pipe was a part of the reason why I stole it. I thought we were going to walk in and he was going to be smoking out of the gnome's pipe.
That would have been 20 times better.
And it would be a mild
better.
Drug reference. Yeah. And I thought that would have been cool.
This gnome loves drugs just like me.
He just threw the gnome in his uncle's closet of his tiny office apartment.
Why does he live above his diner?
That makes sense to me. I don't think that's a problem. Why does he live above there? Because it's cheap.
Yeah.
Because I would assume his dad bought the building like 40 years ago.
I'm just wondering, why can't it just be anywhere else? Like, what is it? Why were they just like, all right, so he's also going to live above his coffee shop?
Because then it's a central location. They could move back and forth. Although they do, with a very rapid pace, move back and forth from Hartford and Stars Hollow. But I think having it be there too, it takes like 5 minutes to get.
Yeah, it's supposedly a 30-minute drive, but they go back and forth like it's going across the street.
Did you guys like Luke's stand-up routine about kids with jam on their hands?
Jam on their heads. I don't know why, but they always do.
Even when there's no jam around, they got jam on their hands.
Ladies, am I right?
What's the deal with jam?
What's the deal?
Oh, but then my favorite moment was him pushing Jess into the lake, I think.
I think they ruined it for me when he referenced it again. I thought they were just going to leave it at that, but then he rushes in. He's like, oh, I threw him in the lake. I don't know what I'm doing.
I threw him in the lake.
That was the litmus test. Like, oh, no, I am a bad father figure or male role model. But I did like the shot that it was just so still. And did you see it coming? I mean, maybe telegraphed a little bit.
Yeah, a little.
Walking through a weird pond. Yeah. No, I think I was surprised by that.
Sure hope I don't fall in this lake. What were you saying? They didn't say that, but I wish they had.
Yeah. And then it is funny how much of a verse they had Luke do. So it's like, you were right, Lorelai, as you always are. Maybe there is, because we were talking about this in previous episodes, how Lorelai is often not good. She does not make good decisions.
No.
She's not a good person oftentimes. But the show seems to absolve her of those bad decision-making
which
situations.
They really should not do.
Like with Max. And then with Luke, she is like, oh, yes, you are the sage parent who knows best. And I think they're presenting her in that light again, maybe a little too positively.
Which I guess kind of makes sense, but also makes terrible sense because the whole point of the show is that Lorelai is just as much of a child as Rory is, which is...
Yeah. Let's get Tara back on the show and talk about that.
Yeah, about how we had Tara Copeland on recently, and she was talking a lot about how she hates that Lorelai is like, I'm just as much of a kid as my daughter.
Yeah, that's why I thought they were sisters.
Yeah.
That is
It would make more sense if they were sisters, and it's like, I'm the responsible sister. I'm the party girl. We don't get along, but we got to learn to love each other. And
that's a CBS sitcom right there.
That it is.
That's, or a CW.
Tuesdays on CBS after Private Practice. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think it is.
So
anyway,
overall, how do we rate this episode if we were to go around the horn?
What we do for these is basically we give it a number now out of
10.
5 for continuity.
We 5 or 10.
Yeah, 5 or 10. And we just make up a rating system. Like we usually, our standard is like blah, like 4 out of 5 cups of coffee or something like that. It's usually just something from the episode, for instance.
How about clowns on horses?
Clowns on horses?
Yeah, the teacher wanted to be a clown. That was one of my
favorites.
Oh, that's
right. Didn't we call him a clown in a previous podcast episode? And now it makes sense. The baggy pants and the extra baggy pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, Max said I wanted to be a clown.
I saw a clown on a horse. And then her follow-up is like, well, are you sad that you're not a clown?
No, I don't regret anything, including your mother breaking my heart.
Oh, my God.
They could have handled that better.
Oh, very much so.
Probably.
But,
that was one of the better specifics, though, is they're them bonding over the circus.
I mean, I challenge anybody for our Gil Male Guys episode on Twitter, on Facebook, to give us a legitimate reason to think that Jess is a good person. Good for Rory, good for anything for the show.
Based on how far we are, not based on, oh, in season 3 he does this. I'm talking about right now, why the fuck do I care about Jess?
Which reminds me, before we get to our ratings, let's go to the Twitter Q&A. Someone tweeted at us.
Chick-a-doo.
Mamma mia. Do you guys think Lorelai was right to try and talk to Jess, or do you think Luke was over? Yep, we cover that. Luke was overreacting. Is Lorelai overly harsh on Jess, given that she was also a rebellious teen who hated her parents, or is Jess just an asshat?
Like just an asshat, because she doesn't seem that hard on him.
And she didn't like get pregnant gentle. On purpose. Like she yeah. hated her parents for a pretty good reason. They kind of disowned her.
Yeah, they just give Jess no reason why he's mad at everybody. Yeah. Why is he mad at, like, this seems like it would be pretty great. You go hang out with your kind of weird uncle.
Right.
And all his hot friends.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see the downside. I do, if it was something like, I mean, what would be a better reason? Like, oh, he accidentally killed his parents in a car. Like, anything.
That wouldn't be a good reason.
But to be mad or to be, like, really be, troubled, yeah. I'm yeah. saying.
Yeah, like, or something that's not just, his responsibility, like, and he feels bad for it, and now he's, you know,
if
got
he
problems,
had to
yeah.
leave his parents because they were abusive, something like that would be like, oh, okay, I kind of get why he's troubled.
Now, my dad left 2 years ago, and Liz yeah. is kind of a mess.
My dad left
my dad,
recently.
My dad left after I was a fully formed person.
He didn't get to teach me how to drive, but that's about it.
I'm like, an extremely well-educated guy. Yeah. Has bad problems for no reason. Seemingly has a good life.
Right. Can afford my cigarette habit.
So Twitter, that's our challenge of this episode. Give us one good reason to like Jess. At Mattress Hugs tweets, I would also like to know if Demi is Team Dean or Team Jess right away, since he doesn't know how it plays out yet.
Can I just not play? Can I sit on the bench for
no
this
teams,
one?
Yeah.
Out of the two of them, I'm Team Dean.
Because Dean respects Lorelai. He respects people. He's just boring. He's just
yeah,
a zero.
He's not going to steal a gnome just because he can.
Yeah, also, Twitter, give us a reason why I stole a gnome.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing funny about that. If he would have done something cool
funny.
With the gnome, I think I'd be Team Jesse.
If he did, like, a fun prank with it?
Yeah, if did anything with it.
If he put
it
just
in,
put
it in a closet,
closet,
sell it.
He put some sunglasses on
yeah.
it.
eBay that shit.
Took a picture. That's all he had to do.
Oh, my gosh. Then someone, at Mattress Hugs, also, my cue is, why is Jess so awful? The reason is, we don't know. We have no idea.
Yeah, that's the conundrum.
At Caitlin Carnes tweet
like
is
Jess.
What's that?
Why do people like, I don't understand. Like multiple people have told me you're gonna love Jess.
Who? Dumb idiot friends?
Yeah, dumb idiot friends. I'm breaking those chains right now.
At Caitlin Carnes tweets is writing in the margins of someone else's book romantic or punishable by death? Oh yeah, because he marks up how.
Yeah. What a fucking dick move.
I would say, I mean, if it's between the two, it's punishable by death. I mean, no, it's not a good move.
I don't know
writing
why
writing in the margins.
Yeah.
It's like if someone lends you a book and you're like, yeah, I fucking marked it up for you.
Unless it's like a love letter or like a secret code.
If it's like,
you're kind of into
I'm
it.
I'm into it. I'm
yeah?
into it.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't know and I don't have enough context where if he is some super genius and he writes like a bunch of really good stuff.
He's actually
margins,
Will Hunting. Yeah.
Yeah. Then I'd like if some really smart girl like took one of my books and then wrote highly intelligent things in the margins of it, I think I'd be on board.
Okay.
And it's like a shitty paperback anyway. It's not like, you know, it's
a
like
first,
a first
edition.
Edition.
Yeah.
All right.
Minkins Kersometh.
Imagine you're like Rory, you're super into books. You have a huge collection of books, all of them you care about. You lend someone a book because you guys have been talking about it or something, and then they give it back to you and they're like, also, I wrote in the book that you lent me for a week.
Which she did not lend him, he stole.
Oh, yeah. I wrote in this book that I stole from you.
Yeah.
He also shows up with a book in the beginning of the and then mm-hmm. they kind of try to twist it. Like, no, I'm not.
They're trying
the book.
To subtly like,
yeah,
Chekhov's book. It doesn't work.
Book. Classic Chekhov's book move.
But I don't know. I feel like just writing in someone else's thing is kind of like he didn't. If he had borrowed the book, he'd be like, all right, I'm gonna leave some cool notes for you in there.
I'm into it. I think it's good flirty move.
Maybe
good move, Jess.
All right, that's one thing Ben likes that Jess did.
That's a 5 out of 5.
Yeah. That's a 5 out of 5.
Because you know, he stole it and did something with it.
Yeah.
Did something as opposed to putting it in the closet.
Yeah.
If he had stolen the book and put it in the closet, that'd be a bad move.
Because if he would have just given it back to her, I think that also would have been lame.
Stole
that's
his book.
True. That's true. Like, I read it again for the 22nd time because he said he read it 21 times before.
Why did he have to steal it then?
Because
he's the Dodger. He's all
and
the
he's
twist.
Into magic. He sucks.
Yes,
so
the close up magic. Let's talk about this. I almost forgot about it. He said, like, oh, what's that behind your ear? Like, the coin trick at the
end.
And
the weirdest joke where she's like, it don't pull it out of anywhere, like any orifice.
Yeah.
A coin couldn't
Wait,
come out of.
She say
I don't
that?
Think she says or. But it's
she's like, don't pull it anywhere a coin wouldn't come out of next time.
Yeah, and it's like everybody must be thinking, like,
does he do
her
more
butt or vagina, oh, right? God. Like, that's the first place my mind went. Was like, oh, it's so. I was like, what a weird thing to say and throw in there. Just don't pull it out of my ear. All right, you sure? Yeah, no place a coin wouldn't come out of.
Yeah.
All right. That takes out the butt.
Mark the butt off the
Does
list.
Does he do more close-up magic in the show?
Season 7, he becomes a magician. I actually don't recall. I don't think he does.
I hope he...
That's the lamest thing about his character.
I hope...
Is the close-up magic?
Like always, like, playing with cards. Yeah. And, like, he's just got too many things going on.
Like, just have one thing. Either
what
you're the gnome stealer...
bad boy is a magician? That's the...
Houdini,
no one...
the baddest boy of all.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So bad that he died.
Wow.
Chris Angel, like,
yeah,
that's some David
that's
Blaine
who
shit
he is.
And then one more. Did you have another thing?
No, I can't imagine anyone being like, yeah, I'm a bad boy, but also what's that behind your fucking ear? That's right. It's a quarter.
It's a turkey.
What are you doing? Like, I'm just twirling coins in my finger really badly because I can't do it. Like, clearly the actor can't do it, so they have to kind of work around, like, him just, like, looking like he knows what he's doing with cards and coins. It's just so stupid.
They go to a medium close-up of his face, and you just hear cards shuffling, and they cut to Roy going, like, whoa.
You know, what they want him to be? They want him to be Christian Slater from Pump Up the Volume.
I've never seen that.
I haven't
but
seen
I,
that either.
I can't imagine.
You guys are missing out.
Sorry.
Great. I'm imagining.
There's a good bad boy. There's a fleshed out
I'm
dude.
Imagining.
Because he's mad because his parents moved him to the like, I don't know, I think maybe they moved from New York to Phoenix or someplace. Mm-hmm. And he's mad about it because all his friends were in New York. Even give me, like, I don't know.
Like, oh, he's separate from his girlfriend or his girlfriend just broke up with him.
Yeah.
Like, anything other than just, like, I moved.
Right. Yeah, my mom said to go visit my uncle.
My rent's being paid for. Did you have any favorite lines of the episode before we...
I don't think I had any lines in this episode.
We know what yours was.
Yeah, I liked mine about, you know, stop babbling because you're talking too fast, which is crazy.
I like the very inventive and original, you don't know me or anything about my life.
That's interesting, too, because I hate him so much in this episode. But Lorelai and Luke kind of respond in kind to that. Like, they have realistic reactions where Lorelai's like, what? What are you talking to?
Exactly.
And Luke's
like, they're
exasperated.
Like, what the fuck are you saying?
Yeah.
No.
So I just wonder, like, is it successful that we hate him this much? Or are we supposed to be like, I hate him, but I also kind of like him?
I got a pretty good Jess line. 18. What? Just wait until you count to 20 questions. Something like that.
Right.
18.
What?
Just count how many questions till we hit 20.
It's like so stupid.
Oh,
18. I'm seeing how close we are to 20 questions. It was some stupid
My
shit.
Tool like, t-shirt next to my Metallica t-shirt.
He's like someone who just got...
He sucks so bad. Everybody's terrible.
We got an email, actually, saying, by the way, for 205... Actually, I want to read this email right now.
All right.
I got to find it first, though. Because they said, oh, the Jess episode is coming up.
I feel like
it's gonna
Jess,
be a big one.
As a character, is someone who perpetually just got in a fight with his mom and can't yell at his mom, so he just has, like, these microaggressions, like, 20 questions, huh? Hate gnomes, gonna put that in the closet, and just, like, goes into his room and smokes. It's, like, it's not a real bad boy or anything. It's just this very boring...
Did you see? I guess they didn't give us enough of what he did to be banished to his uncle's place.
No, they just hear
yelling.
Because
he's mad at them, I guess, because his friends are back wherever he lives. But I don't get it. Like, give him a drug problem or, like...
Give him anything.
Give him anything.
Maybe the
he like robbed
was
someplace. I don't know. Did they ever reveal that, like that he like I don't know, stole a car or something, and that's why he's like.
I mean,
being
I think
away.
I think they do have. He has some criminal background.
Did he kill a guy?
No, I wish.
Then I'm not interested.
I think he has some criminal, or he does something illegal on the show. But this email is from Meredith.
Hi, Meredith.
Yeah, Ben says hi, Meredith. I'm gonna read just a little bit. You guys are great, but it drives me crazy that so many of your guests don't really get Gilmore Girls.
Okay. Sorry, Meredith.
spend a lot of time discussing the negatives instead of getting into what I think makes the podcast so fun to listen to. And I love Jess, and I'm so curious to see what Demi thinks about Milo Ventimiglia and his insights into Luke's character Jess provides.
Oh, man, I don't want to skip this up.
And I know from experience that most people who have never watched Gilmore Girls have a very boring get-off-my-lawn reaction to Jess. So this is my plea to let the first Jess episode be guestless or with a guest who already left the show.
We blew it.
Yeah, we really fucked this up.
We gave you everything you didn't want.
I kind of anticipated this reaction, truthfully, because I assigned this episode specifically.
You did.
To you. I actually switched it around. So I went on my way to screw Meredith over. So.
Sorry, Meredith. Yeah.
Sorry, Meredith.
Why do you hate Meredith so much?
I don't, but this is a better episode than... Imagine if someone came in here and was like, this is why Jess is great.
Yeah, Jess is a sweet boy.
I wish I would have blown your mind and been like, man, Jess rules. Can we just talk about, like, he's a smart guy. He's in this town.
He loves books.
He loves books.
There's some mystery there too.
And he's fun. He knows magic and stuff. Like he's entertaining. I mean, he's what every girl wants.
Oh my god.
They're made for each other.
Oh my god.
They're both smart.
Very much not made
for
each
other. There are millions of people on the internet who believe Jess and Rory are made for each other. I should not be so invested in proving them wrong.
I think they think they're like puzzle pieces of like Rory's smart but a good girl, and he's smart but a bad boy. They'll make it, but it's really just like, no, one's an asshole and one's very nice. It's not the kind of relationship that I care about.
Do you think on a really shallow level he's attractive? He's a good-looking guy?
He needs different hair. All of the dudes in this show have awful hair. His hair looks like Woody fucking Woodpecker.
Is that of the times, though?
I wonder. Dean's definitely is who you didn't see in this episode.
Yeah, Dean's hair looks like
I don't know if Jess is.
And Jess is just kind
of... And Luke's
looks,
is just, let's best not discuss it.
Jess's hair is kind of timeless. It just feels like it belongs anywhere, but it's always just too much.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's up, you know?
Yeah, it does.
I don't know what it is.
Like a little beehive.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, let's rate the episode.
Let's rate this fucking episode.
I'm going to give it, because I did like the reactions that it provoked from Luke and Lorelai. And I liked certain conversations. I hate Jess so much. But there were moments that really I enjoyed, despite everything we've talked about on this podcast today. So I'm going to give it 7 out of 10.
Mm.
Nope, never mind. 6 out of 10 gnomes.
Okay.
I'm going to give it, because I didn't like this episode, and frankly, I think that Jess is not a character I'm going to enjoy for a little bit. I'm sure at one point I'll be like, okay, Jess redeemed himself. But right now,
not
into Jess, not into anyone's dynamic with Jess. He's Cousin Oliver from the Brady Bunch. That's what he is right now.
He's a hot Cousin Oliver.
He's an old Cousin Oliver. I don't know.
Did Cousin Oliver have sexual tension with anyone on the Brady Bunch?
Cousin Oliver was like 8.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Okay.
I give...
the maid.
Oh, him and Andy Alice. Davis as Alice.
Alice.
R.I.P.
Oh. I give this episode 4 out of 8 nicotine patches. Luke just comes in and brings a huge...
The book, the patch, gum.
He's doing it.
He spent $300 at CVS.
On self-help books, which
are
there,
and then apparently. At the end, he just kind of steals the cigarette away from... Like, I don't think he'll be smoking ever again in this episode, or in this series, I'm sure.
I don't know, dude. Does he?
Blah.
Teaser.
4 out of 10. Yeah, I said mine.
Did you say 8 or 10?
4 out of 10.
Because you said 4 out of 8 at first. Oh, I was like,
well,
whoa.
That's too high of a ranking. 4 out of 10 nicotine patches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to shock you guys. I'm giving it a full 10 out of 10. Just out of respect for Meredith.
Meredith,
and
we love you.
I think, you know, I'm giving it the full Regis Dodo review. Because you know what? I've turned. I've fully pivoted.
Whoa,
Jesse's
nice.
An amazing, or Jess. I didn't even know the guy's name. What a bad guy. I mean, he's got everything. He's got tricks.
Guys, Ben is crying right now.
I'm weeping.
Rolling down his face.
I don't sound like it, but I am a waterworks right now. Realizing that they don't end up together.
I don't know. Do they? Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. We don't know yet.
Well, we know Ben's going to stick around and find out.
Ben, thank you for committing to do every single episode of this show with us.
No, thank you.
In the coming months.
Thank you guys for turning me on to this. I mean, that article about the concrete just really, and how everything
she made the most. Oh, that teacher, whoever that lady was, the supervising editor.
Yeah, so I'm giving
editor.
This 10 concrete.
Not 10 journalist bests. Out of 10.
I'm giving it 10 concrete articles out of 10.
Mmm. Love it.
What was it? The parking lot pavement?
The new parking lot's getting paved.
God, I really, I'm...
Do you feel emotionally drained right now?
I do. I'm forgetting how much I hated, in particular, the parking lot subplot.
Kind of.
It was nothing. It was nothing. It will never be mentioned again. In the next episode, she probably will not be in the journalism thing. It'll probably be...
No, that continues.
No, I'm sure, but I'm saying like the very next episode. It's not immediately important. Anyway.
Well, Ben, do you have anything to plug before we go?
No, I've got nothing to plug.
Nothing to plug. Shitty jobs.
Shitty jobs.
Los Angeles.
Come see it if you're in Los Angeles.
I have a very minor confession. Did you notice anyone kind of falling asleep in the front row of the last Shitty Jobs?
No, but I'm assuming it was you.
It was me. Oh, here's I want to say this on air because Shitty Jobs is one of my favorite shows at UCB. And the other day, we taped two episodes that day, I think.
Yeah,
this was last week. And I watched those episodes the morning of. I was up at 8 and I went to sleep at 4. I had no sleep. And then late, like last night, my friends were like, dude, let's go to Shitty Jobs. And we got the tickets. And I got there and I was exhausted. And I felt so bad because I was front row watching you guys. And you were great. And then I was like dozing off in the front row.
Taylor dozing off.
Well, you could have gotten away with it if you would have just kept it to yourself.
Oh,
wow. Now he's going to be looking for it.
Now I'm going to be scuffing it out.
Don't be.
No, it's
I feel
right.
like there's been worse.
There's always somebody sleep. Like, just... I feel like every show anybody does, if you scan around, there's
just
somebody
in my mind.
There's one person who's just, or like wasted.
I remember that one guy a few months ago.
Do you have like seriously bad audience members sometimes?
When we were performing at 11, I think people were maybe a little bit more like fucked up because it was later and maybe they were at a bar for too long or something and it's also a couple hours later where you would start like nodding off and falling asleep. But yeah, nobody too bad.
So come to the show.
Yeah, come to the show. Come to the show. Sundays. Get some sleep. Rest up.
Yeah.
Sundays,
be well
9:30.
Rested.
Don't pull a Demi.
Don't
prime
pull a
Demi. Prime time.
Prime time, baby.
It's one of my favorite improv shows at UCB for sure.
Wonderful.
Sweet. Thanks, man.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
You guys kill it.
I am at Kevin T. Porter on Twitter and Instagrams.
I'm not on Twitter.
Yes, you are.
I am. I'm at Electrolemon on Twitter. Ben, can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter. It's Ben_Rogers.
RODGERS.
RODGERS.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
And then you can follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter. Email us, GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. And you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/GilmoreGuysShow for updates and Q&A requests and pictures and all sorts of fun goodies.
All the
ran out
great
of theme.
Stuff. Cool. Baby photographs.
Yeah, I'm going to follow for those goodies.
Political updates as to our opinions. All the things you find on Facebook.
Our thoughts on Obamacare.
Yep.
Thank you so much for enduring this episode.
No, thank
with
you.
Us
it was fun.
And
fun.
Talking.
Was it?
Yeah, it was fun to hate on it.
Oh, okay. It was a good combo. Yeah, I love it.
It's a good show to hate on.
When you finished the episode, did you feel drained? Were you like, I have to talk about this now? Or were you like...
Excited.
Yeah, I was kind of excited, especially, I think this was a great end, show ending, where I was like, oh my God. when they reveal that he's into books, I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah,
and it's over.
I'm actually a genius.
They were like, we need a quick way to establish that he's a good guy.
I know books and stuff. Good night.
How well do you know the theme song of this show? Carole King. It's a classic.
I don't know it.
Well, I got bad news for you because we're all going to sing it.
We're all going to sing it.
Great. I'll try.
Here
I'll
we
try
go.
My best.
Thank you, Ben. Mm-hmm.
Drop
if
it.
If you're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
On the next train.
He said the choo-choo.
I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need.
How long is this?
Two more minutes left.
Oh, God.
I will follow.
Oh.
choo-choo.
When you bring the choo-choo back.
I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need...
Oh, there's a train. Choo-choo.
This is our guest here. We did not like this.
Oh, man. That train keeps coming through.
The train is just doing a circle around the station.
In Stars Hollow. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.